So you were a school teacher, were you not?
Yes.
Is it harder today to be a school teacher than it was when you were in the classroom, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Unbelievably harder. In some ways good, right? Because there's so much more data. You have to pay attention to trends and research. You have to understand that kids are experiencing education very differently, and knowledge, right? They have this ubiquitous access to knowledge over their devices. So it's not about teaching the content as much as it is critical thinking. Now that students can get content from every blog in the world on a subject, how do you teach them to know what's good content and what's not, what's backed up by research, what's not? So that's just on the learning side of the subject. And then the other thing that makes it really challenging to be an educator today is math telecommunications. When I was in the classroom, I shut that door. Every hour I'd pump out some knowledge, get kids excited. 6 hours, 7 hours later in the day, I was done. And occasionally have a parent-teacher conference. Today, it is 24/7 email to teachers from parents. It's evenings and weekends. It's accessing them on social media if they're not really, you know, diligent about putting up barriers. There is an expectation of communication that has never been there, which is, again, challenging because teachers are trying to rise to meet that expectation, but their contracts are still those 180 days, 1,000 hours a year. And obviously, we have a teacher shortage for a reason. The market's not evolving to meet those expectations. We need to pay our teachers more, give them more release time, and give them more time to work with parents.
So most, if I'm correct, most of the money for the state education system comes from the state and not from the federal government. But how does what's going on in terms of Secretary DeVos wanting to essentially put more money into privatized sort of education, how does that trickle down to Washington?
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting notion here. So these are just rough numbers, but you can roughly think about education in our state as 65 to 70% state, 20 to 25% local levies, and 10% federal government. And that 10% from the feds has been pretty consistent, statewide average, of course. Some districts are more, some are a little less. So at 10% of our budgets, the federal government isn't going to move or shake a lot of policy. They buy things like migrant and bilingual services, special education. There's definitely some targeted pots of money that they have historically funded. We think it's a real challenge and unfortunate circumstance that the secretary is so focused on privatizing the system, because what she's essentially saying is she's willing to cut those targeted dollars for those populations that Washington State shares in. And instead, she'd like to invest in charter schools and, more importantly, voucher programs, which our state does not really participate in. So Washington taxpayers will continue to pay to the federal government their federal taxes and get less and less back from them if she doesn't leave that decision up to the states. And so this is a states' rights issue. She should continue to let us decide how much of those kinds of things we want to explore. And she should continue to have those formula dollars go to the states instead of making decisions in Washington, D.C. about what kind of programs we're going to offer.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and finish with this. Sometime in the next couple of weeks, we assume that the legislature is going to come up with a budget and some sort of plan to satisfy the state Supreme Court about McCleary. Beyond that, what should parents be looking for? What are their opportunities to have some shape over what the educational system is going to be all about?
Yeah, it's a beautiful question because that really is at the crux of my concern and my hope. My concern is that we'll just solve a math problem at the court and people won't see things differently. If we do it right, we will start to open up the door to individual student pathways more. That requires parent engagement. If a student is picking a pathway, particularly the second half of their high school experience, parents need to be engaged. If we're using data to make decisions about reading levels and math levels and trying to use assessments to do that work, then parents need to be consulted in that. So I hope parents have high expectations of engagement beyond just getting a letter from the school once in a while, but real individual engagement. I hope that they can expect over a longer period of time for us to bring second language acquisition, probably a return to more recess and more lunchtime if we do this right. We now know a lot about how students develop cognitively and socially, emotionally. So my hope is that parents have high expectations for us customizing the system more and more over time. But I would also expect them to understand that if you want to look like the best models in the world, then you got to pay for what the best models in the world pay for. And that's going to cost a little more money over time.